watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with them with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I'll preach to you this morning on the subject, Good Tidings of Great Joy. I like that when the angel stepped out there that day and told them, say, behold, I bring you good tidings. Good, the word good. Good tidings of great joy. You know, in the day we're living in, we need to hear some good news. It was in the little town of Bethlehem where Ruth, back in the Old Testament, began her gleaning, where David in the Old Testament had attended the flock of his father, Jesse. Shepherds were still keeping watch over their flock by night. And it was named the city of David over in 2 Samuel chapter 5, the little town of Bethlehem. I thought about this being prophesied in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, 700 years before it took place. Imagine, I saw a little poem one time, and I wish I had it, I'd read it to you, but it was talking about dreams that people may have had that night. It was just a normal night. It was dark. Stars were out. Shepherds were out there tending their flock by night. A lot of people were asleep, home in the bed asleep. And they said that a blind man, you know, he's laying in bed and he's laying there dreaming like that, you know. And all of a sudden, he had a dream that he was healed and his blind gone. He could see that night. According to just like a legend or somebody's imagination, a crippled man was laying in bed that night and dreamed that he could walk. They said that maybe a deaf man was in bed that night and dreamed that he could hear again. All over the city, God may have troubled their hearts and told them that good news was coming. Buddy, you talk about some good news. That's the greatest news this world has ever heard. What about that? I sat down this morning for a few minutes and tried to imagine what the world would be like if Jesus hadn't come. Let's say God would have just gave us the Ten Commandments and told them to do right and then just left us alone from then on. You know what kind of world we'd be living in this morning? You can't imagine it. I can't imagine. You know why? Because everything we look at, everything we think and say and do is connected to Him one way or another. The year 2000, that's dated from His birth that everybody's talking about right now. The way we think, do unto others you'd have them do unto you, the golden rule, all that stuff come from Jesus Christ. I wonder what it would be if Jesus had never come. Well, I'll tell you what it'd be like. The whole world would be like a jungle. It'd be barbaric. It'd be like a bunch of wild animals running this earth. And by the way, that's the way it's getting now. The more we kick him out of our life, out of our homes, and out of our government, it's getting more barbaric. As somebody said one time, it's back to the Bible or back to the jungle. One of them two. But I tell you what, brother, I'm glad that he came. Good tidings, good news. Our little kids used to sing a song years ago, and they'd stand up here and sing another church, not this one, up here at Sunnyvale, and they'd sing, Have you heard the good news? Good news, good news. Have you heard the good news? Good news, good news. And boy, I tell you what, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Good news, good news, good news. He came to this world. Then it's saying, Have you heard the good news? Good news, good news. And he died died for our sin. And then it'd say another, have you heard the good news? Good news, good news. And it'd say, he rose up from the dead. And then it'd say another, have you heard the good news? Good news, good news. And it'd say, he's coming back again. That's the best world is, news this world ever heard. You know, you hear bad news. Somebody gave me a magazine the other night. They brought it to me. Prayer meeting, and I hadn't even looked at it yet, but my wife was looking at it last night. It's Time Magazine or something. He was talking about over in certain parts of Africa, when you commit a crime, they'll take some of you, break both hands like this, chop them off. They done this 13-year-old girl like that, chopped off both hands, and she's on the front of the magazine doing like this. And never ever will she be able to dress herself. Never will be able to pick up things or feed herself unless she just bends over like that and gets. And my wife was reading that and she kept saying, this is happening. War's here. More. She said, this is awful. I don't even want to read no more. This is awful. You know, it's all you hear out there in the world is bad news. Somebody killed somebody. Somebody robbed somebody. Have you heard about the cow over there? Have you heard about the bad things that happened over yonder? Boy, I tell you, everywhere you turn on the news, you heard about somebody kid getting run over up here the other day. Heard about that terrible wreck they had in Black Mountain the other night. Every time I walk into church, somebody told me out here this morning, somebody had a bad, somebody had an aneurysm. Somebody else had cancer. Somebody else had so-and-so didn't have but so long to live. And we just constantly hear it. Bad news. Bad news. Bad news. Boy, isn't it a blessing? Isn't it wonderful this morning to hear the good news? Isn't it wonderful to hear good tidings of great joy? Good tidings of great joy. I want to say a few things about it this morning and talk about the good news. First of all, let's look at the preacher. The preacher was the angel of the Lord. Amen, brother. He was not what men would call a great sermon, but he got his message from the throne of God. He used a cloud for his pulpit and declared to a group of shepherds, fear not. For behold, I bring good tidings of great joy. You know what makes a message good is where it come from and the meaning behind it. Amen. I bet you if he'd have been in a homiletical class, that his professor would have sat there and said, that ain't much of a sermon. He didn't have a title. He didn't have an outline. He didn't have points. All of his points didn't start with the same letter. He didn't rhyme. He didn't have a poem at the end. Oh, and he gets a B or he gets maybe a D on this sermon. But boy, I tell you what, that thing got put in the Bible, brother. The Holy Ghost gave him that message. That angel bent right at the throne of God, right off of the coals of the altar, touched his tongue, and he popped out there on the pulpit, said, hey, look up here a minute. Fear not. He said, you don't have to be afraid no more. You don't have to be afraid of your sin. You don't have to be afraid of your record. You don't have to be afraid of dying. Fear not. Fear's over with. We don't have to be afraid no more. He's here. He's down yonder in Bethlehem. Hallelujah. What a sermon he preached that night. Woo! Glory to God, brother. That preacher had a message. Amen. Somebody said the sermon should be plain. It should be pointed. It should be practical. It should be powerful and get the message across. That's what a sermon should do. It should be plain. It should be pointed. It should be practical. And it should be powerful. That angel didn't get up there and mealy mouth around. The angel didn't get up there and say, shepherds, shepherds, can I have your attention? Shepherds. I can't imagine that, can you? That angel didn't get up there like that. Lord have mercy. Them shepherds would have said, good night. You come from, where'd you come from? San Francisco? You ain't no preacher. Get out of here. Yeah, but I'll tell you what, buddy. That angel got up there and said, hey, boys. And it wasn't a blonde-headed girl angel with wings, neither. There ain't no such thing. No such thing as a blonde-headed girl angel with wings. And don't get mad at me. So you're reading the Bible. All them angels in the Bible appeared as young males. And don't get mad at me. You're just a narrow-minded bigot is your problem. You're narrow-minded against the Bible. I'm preaching you the Bible. If you love the truth, you'd appreciate somebody telling you the truth. And that young angel stood up there and he got up there and he said, fear not. For behold, I bring good tidings. He might have hacked a little bit, I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing, brother, he was powerful. That preacher was powerful. When that man stepped up there, he stomped the cloud, amen. Like I stomped the floor, he stomped the cloud. Boom! And boy, you hear, God made a big loud noise. He had a PA system that was a lot better than mine. And boy, he jumped up there and went up there and he said, shepherds, give me your attention, please. Fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings. Good news, good news, good news, good news. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad I can stand here 2,000 years later after that took place and say, if you're here this morning, you're bound up in sin, I've got good news for you. If alcohol's your master, I've got good news for you. If drugs run your life, I've got good news for you. Good news is what the preacher said. Amen. Hey, they talk about us being negative. Not the best news the world's ever heard. The most positive news the world's ever heard is you're dying, but Jesus can save you and give you a new body that'll never wear out. Amen. Let's talk about the hearers. Look at congregation that night. Shepherds in the field. Shepherds in the field. I mentioned this Wednesday night, but since a few of you were not here, I better mention it again, okay? The Lord didn't need to send the message to the Pharisees. God didn't send the message to Herod on his throne. God didn't send, when God talked, he didn't say, now who's the most influential person of the day? Where's the king? I'm going to tell him that my son's there. Angel, go preach to Herod. Go, he didn't say go preach to the Pharisees. He preached to the Sadducees. He said, now if you want to get the message out, you find you some shepherds that watch over sheep, and you watch over the sheep in the field. There's who I want to talk to. Shepherds in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. You know, that's exactly what a preacher does now. Keep watch over the flock. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm watching over the flock by night. That's the time we're living in. And the shepherd watches over the sheep, and God speaks to the shepherd. God speaks to the shepherd. And I want to say, if I want to know what God was saying this morning, if I want to know what God was saying this morning, you ain't got but 12 days left. There's the first of the computer failures right there in front of your eyes. My Y2K clock failed. Wonder if my pacemaker's going to be all right. You never know, buddy. Listen, I ain't got no pacemaker, but you better hook it up to a battery or do something. If God was going to talk to us this morning, you know who he'd talk to? You'd think if God had a message to get across the United States that he'd speak to Bill Clinton. No, he wouldn't. If God's got a message he wants to get this country, he's going to speak to his preachers. Shepherds watching over the flock. Amen? Ladies and gentlemen, we need to hear what the preacher said. And buddy, the hearers were shepherds in the field. They're not philosophers. They were the same of today. Just as the sun rays hit hilltops first, they were the first to hear the message of the glory that was coming to bless a sleeping world. Amen. Hallelujah, brother. The hearers were the shepherds in the field. I don't know what it'd been like. Out there doing your job, keeping watch over the flock by night, all of a sudden the glory of God hit. Angels come up there. Those shepherds probably went like this. They probably knelt down and said, oh my soul, listen to everything he said. And the angel said, right over yonder in Bethlehem lays the Savior of the world. He's going to grow up and be the Savior of the world. And boy, the shepherd jumped up and said, hey, let's leave here and see this thing which has come to pass. And they took off flying. Now I want to say, thirdly, this morning, let's look at the gospel. The good news itself. Good tidings of great joy. These tidings were good. The voice on the mount, back there in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, brought fear and brought quaking. They were scared when they heard the law thundered from Mount Sinai. But that was no good tidings to save sinful man. But this news was a blessing. They loved it. They liked what they heard. They said, wonderful. Counselor. Hallelujah. It's Him. He's here. It's here. It was good news. Good news this morning has come to this world. Secondly, it was mysterious. It was mysterious. You know what they said? Unto you is born Christ the Lord. The Bible said a son is given. It wasn't like He started in Bethlehem. God just gave Him to us in Bethlehem. It said a son is given. Now, a lot of people say, boy, like Jehovah's Witnesses, they say that Jesus Christ had His beginning at Bethlehem. No, no. He didn't say, said unto us, a child is born, unto us a son is what? There's a child was born, the son was given. He already was in heaven with God for the foundation of this world. He was with God in heaven. There never was a time when He didn't exist. He was not. He was not a new person created. He was a pre-existent person incarnated in flesh in Bethlehem's manger. It was mysterious good news, but it was news this world needed to hear. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 said, great is the mystery of godliness. If you got the King James Bible, if you got the NIV, it don't say it. It says God was manifest in flesh, brother. It says God. You don't want a Bible that don't say God was manifest in flesh. In 1 Timothy 3:16, that King James Bible said that God came down in flesh and walked among us. He dwelt among us. Emmanuel. He was God in flesh. He was God, a very God. Man, a very man. He was half God and half man. He was all God and all man at the same time. That's a mystery, glory to God. You know what the Quran says? The Muslim holy book. It says that Mary became pregnant and ran to the wilderness and had the baby at the foot of a palm tree. And some said, shake the tree and dates will fall out for all around. And the people rejoice because they thought she was a harlot. I want to tell you, that's blasphemy, brother. Mary was brought forth Jesus in Bethlehem's manger. Mary was a virgin, and her and Joseph hadn't even gotten married yet. They were only espoused. That means as engaged. And Jesus Christ was God in her womb, and He was God when He opened up His eyes in the manger. I was showing the guys at the Bible Institute one night. We was having classes on the King James Bible. And did you know that scripture over there where it says that when the thief on the cross was dying beside Jesus, and the thief looked over and said, remember me when you come to your kingdom. He said, Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom. Remember that? Well, in the modern translations of the Bible, any ones you want to pick up just about, they say this. The thief's dying on the cross, and he looks over and says, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. They say he doesn't call Him the Lord. Now, what does the Bible say? Believe on the what? Lord Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A man can't be saved unless he recognizes that Jesus is Lord. Now, you know where that comes from? That comes from an ancient teaching that they started in the days of the New Testament. And that teaching said that Jesus was just a man for 30 years. When he was 30 years old, quote, when he was baptized, he came up out of the water and the dove descended, the quote, Christ ascended on him. For 3.5 years, he was Christ. Then when he died on the cross, all the sin of the world was put on him. So at that moment, he couldn't be Christ and have sin on him and defeated and dying. So the Christ left. And they say the quote, Christ come on him when he was baptized, and left at the cross. So the thief looked at him and said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. For they say the Christ was only on him from the time he was baptized till the time he died on Calvary or just before, and he was no longer Lord, remember me, but Jesus, remember me. You check that out, the NIV. Check it out. Don't get mad at me and say, well, brother so-and-so, I heard preacher on, just hush for a second and look at it. You should love the truth more than you love brother so-and-so. We should love the truth. Now I want to say to you this morning, you hear me? I never pray for somebody shoots me when I walk out there today. If they blow my brains out when I walk out of this church this morning, I want to go on record and say, Brother Danny believes just what that book said when he opened up his eyes in the manger. He was God. When he was Christ then. He was the Savior of the world then. When he was 12 years old, he was Christ. When he was 30 years old, he was Christ. When he died on Calvary, he was Christ. He was God. He was God all the way from Bethlehem to the cross. Hallelujah. Praise his name. He's God in the flesh. You say, I can't understand that. I can't either. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. I'm spinning too hard, ain't I? It's a mystery. Now I want to say this morning, not only that good news a mystery, that good news is personal. That good news is personal. You know what he said? Shepherd, unto you is born this day in the city of David. Don't think y'all are big. There's a lot of people here this morning. Got a big crowd here this morning. Thank God for it. But don't just stand up here and say, well, he told all the people how much the Lord could help them. No, this is for you. This is for you. All you little guys up here. You young ladies up here. Hey, everybody up and about. It's for you. It's a personal thing. Everything I'm saying this morning is to you first. You just imagine ain't nobody else in here but me and you. And I'm just talking right to you. Unto you this day. Unto you. Unto you. You know what? It'll be a great day in your life when you realize Jesus didn't come for you. He died for you. He rose again for you. He's coming back for you. All of it's for you, man. For you as an individual. The youth choir, we sing, he loves me. I was his only child. Hallelujah. Get that in your heart this morning. Get a hold of that. Let it grab you, amen. Hey, go home shouting on that. He done it for me. It's a personal salvation. That's why Billy Graham always gets up and says, accept Christ as your personal Savior. God don't reach up and save us in a big bunch. He saves us one at a time. Individuals. A little boy can be getting saved right here. I've thought about this before. You reckon how many people's getting saved right now? Right now while we're preaching. And I'm preaching, you're listening. Right now, you imagine, they may be 500,000 people being saved right now in other parts of the world, giving invitation, early services, on buses, in Sunday school class. Right now, there's somebody saying, I believe in my heart. I want you to be my Savior. There's rejoicing up there in heaven all the time, brother. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God. It's good news this morning. Isn't it a blessing? Be able to come to church. Hey, listen, we're not talking about some old of a country singer where he can't get the, you know, his adenoids cleared up enough to sing the right song. And talking about a tear in his beer on the dance floor on a beer can. I'm talking about something that'll lift you up, bless you, make you happy, and give you something to live for. Personal. It's personal. I don't have to wait till Sunday morning when I come up here with all of you before I can talk to him. I can talk to him when I'm by myself, at home, in my bed, in my 4Runner, driving down the road. I can say, Lord, and he's right there beside me. It's a personal. It's personal. I love that. Not only that, it's joyful. Good tidings of great joy. Let me tell you something, girls. Oh, you young ladies, young men, you know what you can get out there in the world? You can have fun. Girls just want to have fun, right? You can have some. But there's two things you better remember. Number one, it always comes with a price tag. And number two, it runs out real quick. And you want me to tell you what you can get from Jesus you can't get from the world? Joy. Joy. The world can't give you joy. The world can give you fun. The world can give you kicks. The world can thrill you. You can ride a rope and it'll give you a rush, man. Give you a thrill. You can get drunk and it'll make you feel good. You can go to a place somewhere, a honky, and like it. Your flesh likes it. But there's no joy down on the inside. You can make tingle this flesh and you can make this flesh feel good. But I'm talking about something that oozes up from the inside. Level like a spring all by itself. And it's pure and it's wonderful. And you don't have to have a beer can. Or you don't have to have a band playing. Or you don't have to have a dance floor. You don't have to have it. It's joy. The joy of the Lord. The joy. He said, good tidings of great joy. Hey, I've had fun. I've had fun out in the world. I'd be lying if I said there wasn't fun out there. There is. But I'll tell you something else, buddy. I've had joy too. And joy is a whole lot better than fun. Joy is a whole lot better than fun. It's real. It's more deep. And it's longer lasting. And you don't feel guilty over it. Amen. Not only do they have joyful, but it's universal, which shall be to all people. All people. See, some religions in the world are just for certain people. Somebody said, Christianity is a white man's religion. That's a dumb, uneducated thing to say. For one thing, Jesus Christ wasn't even white. You see this picture of Jesus, you know, and he's got real white skin and red hair and hands like a girl. His hands are real narrow like that. Mine's too fat. I tried on gloves at the trade lot yesterday. Done my Christmas shopping down at Jamestown trade lot like I do every year. And they're trying to sell me some gloves. You ever go Christmas shopping and you wind up trying on stuff for yourself? That's what I was doing. I almost bought me a pair of gloves. I couldn't get my hand in them. And they have Jesus' hands about this wide like that. And he's got red hair and blue eyes and white skin. Jesus? Are you kidding me? He was a Jew, brother. Then they were all mixed up like they are now. Racially. Brother, they had dark skin and straight black hair. And brother, I'm going to tell you something. It's for the brown man, the white man, the red man, the yellow man, the black man. This thing is universal. It's for everybody. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. It makes no difference where you come from. It makes no difference what your background is. It don't make any difference where you live. How much money you got in your pocket. You can have $1 million in the bank. You may not have a penny to your name. It's for everybody this morning. Thank God. I talked to people this week, the other week. I give a guy a tract who was an Indian. I guess a Buddhist or something. And he started asking me questions. He said, what you Christians do when you do wrong? I said, we ask forgiveness. We ask forgiveness. And he said, but you do wrong again. I said, you ask forgiveness again. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. He wanted to know all about it. And I got in a good witness to him. It's for everybody. I don't have to say, oh, you weren't raised in our culture, so this is not for you. Which shall be to all people. Amen. And it was confirmed. How you know this message of good news was confirmed? Because when the angel got through, didn't take him long. Here's all he said. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. That's it. And before he could say, let us all stand, suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host. And brother, these angels popped up, a big crowd of them just popped up in the sky, and they went up there and they said, hallelujah! King of kings, forever and ever. I don't know what they sung. It wasn't Grandma got run over by reindeer, I promise. Amen. Buddy, it was confirmed. The angel got up there. He said, all right, Amen. Fear not. For behold, I bring good tidings. Here's an angel popped up there and they said, all right, ladies and gentlemen, King of kings forever and ever, and Lord of lords. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And he shall reign forever and ever. You know what they're saying? They're saying, amen. Amen, brother. Amen. God sent heavenly choir down there to confirm he's here. The king has been born. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. We've come a long way since then, ain't we? Nowadays, the angels would say, I saw mommy kissing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was confirmed. Then they brought him gifts. I'll say this, another thing I'll be through. They brought him gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, gold is for a king. That's what you bring a king. Gold. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 10 tells you that. Frankincense, you know what frankincense is? It's like incense. Like the hippies burn or whatever you're trying to do to get rid of your pot smell or whatever you do it for. Frankincense. Exodus chapter 30. And myrrh is bitter. It's an embalming fluid. Why'd they bring in gold and frankincense and myrrh? Because that represents the three phases of his life. Gold is what you do with her king. Is like, you know what that's a picture of? Prayer, intercession, and myrrh is bitter perfume. Now listen, Jesus Christ was prophet, he's priest, and king. He was a prophet. You know what it represents, a prophet? That myrrh, the bitter life of the prophet. He was priest right now. That's intercession. That's incense. He's making intercession for us right now in heaven. And when he comes back, he'll be king. So they laid at his feet gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's some story we got this morning, folks. It's more than Charlie Brown carrying a little bitty tree. Where's all my money? It fell out here on the couch. Look at that. It was more than a little twig Charlie Brown got out. And dun, 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 that stuff. We got a story here. We got a story that's changed the world. And the good news, it's for you. Years ago, in the 1800s, there was two brothers. Robert, you ever heard of a great preacher? Greatest preacher in Scotland history, Robert McShane. And David, his brother. David was a real sincere Christian young man. And Robert was wicked, you know. He come home from a dance one night, and David was down the floor praying for him. And Robert looked at him and said, David, is that necessary? I heard you call my name out. And David said, I'm praying for you, buddy, my brother. David kept praying and praying and praying. Robert went off to college, to Edinburgh, the University of Edinburgh in Scotland. David got sick, but kept praying day and night. Robert was 18 years old when David died. But they said when David, his young brother, died, that the Spirit of God came on Robert McShane. And it was like it got a hold of him, woke him up. And the first streaks of spiritual dawn began to hit him. He started writing poems and put his faith in. His poems went from poetry to hymns. And then he went from hymns. He had a brilliant mind. He was very, very, very smart. They told him in college, they said, man, you got a brain in your head. He said, you could do about anything. And he wrote poetry, and then he wrote songs. And then you know what that boy did? He put all his emphasis into the Scripture. By the time he was 23 years old, he was a preacher and pastoring a church. In Scotland, that boy pastored a church with 4,000 people in it. His ministry was only 7 years long. He died when he was 30. But they said every time he would preach, waves of spiritual power would start coming in while he was preaching. You know, you've seen preachers preaching all of a sudden just like waves coming in at the ocean. Revival fires sprang up everywhere he went. He died when he was 30 years old. And Scotland's great Presbyterian preacher, Robert McShane, heard the good news from his dying brother David and changed that country for the glory of God with the good news, good tidings of great joy. Glory to God. We got the goods here, people. We got the good news. We've got the good news. Let's stand by our heads for prayer.